Hey Damien.
Yeah.
What's that classy music you're playing?
It's the opening theme to Bill O'Reilly's audiobook.
Yeah.
Those Who Trespass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about a TV newsman named Shannon Michaels, who's trained by the IRA, and he goes around killing all of his enemies after he gets fired from his cable news juggernaut job. This is written in the 90s.
Oh. So among his many talents, he's also a prophet. Sort of.
I'm just saying, it's there. That is the book with the immortal lines, "Off with those pants."
So it's, I say that a lot, but it's not, there's no IRA involved at the time. You know, I can't tell if I feel relieved or I feel gypped, because earlier today I was told that Bill O'Reilly had written an erotic novel. That's the way it was explained to me. And my fingers came within millimeters of the keyboard so that I could Google Bill O'Reilly erotica. And then I said to myself, it's within the octave of Easter.
Nobody needs that kind of thing.
So you did it instead.
I did it. Well, you know,
one flush. Yeah. All right.
And well, it turns out it's just a crappy thriller.
Yeah. Oh, well, yay. Okay. Phew. Moving along. Boy, this was... Oh, first of all, I have to apologize. Because we didn't... I know. Well, let me tell you why before you get too enthusiastic about it. We didn't have a podcast last week. I'm super sorry. If it makes anybody feel better, I felt terrible about it every single day of the week that we weren't doing it.
It was a personal and professional failure.
I know. On everybody's part. Yeah. And I felt bad about it, but not bad enough to actually do a podcast.
You were kind of busy.
I was busy. I was making a lot of chopped liver, a lot of matzo balls. I was too busy to even count the matzo balls. I feel like there were at least 85 of them.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And the leftover matzo balls we use, we store them, and then we use them for insulation in winter.
They are dense.
Yes.
They are nice and dense. They have their own... I was going to say they have their own atomic mass, but I guess everything does, huh?
Yeah. You could have said that, and I don't know, the three people listening would have been impressed.
I wasn't trying to impress anybody, believe it or not. If I were trying to impress anybody, I would have started a long ago and taken a different road, believe me.
What?
I'm just saying.
Oh.
All right. All right, I have here a napkin from Chili's.
Again?
And it says, Shawat Kholdad. On it, and
okay.
I don't know what
Well, first of all, we're going way out of order.
All right.
Because we're down here.
Not a problem.
The Passover Easter part.
All right, but that happened last week.
Well, so. I know, but you explained why.
All right.
So.
All right, fine. You have the napkin. You could be the napkin master.
Okay, right up here, it says feathered eyebrows.
I was going to save that for later because it was so important.
Well, let's save it then. Let's go right down to, well, we covered Bill O'Reilly's erotica.
Oh, did we cover it?
Yes. Which, actually, anytime you mention Bill O'Reilly, I think it's a good time to talk about ShoutCloud.
ShoutCloud, something I found out about today. This is very important. If you go to ShoutCloud.com, like it's a weird address. It's like ShoutCloud.io or something like that. Why don't you Google it? It's not within the octave of Easter. You can do that. And what it does is it changes your... words into all capital letters.
Also known as the comment sections to crisis.
Yes. Comment sections, if you're lucky. I mean, start out that way. Oh my gosh, if anybody wants a laugh, go ahead and go on Twitter to the Federalist Pitch Bot.
Oh.
they just put up pitches for articles in the Federalist, and it's pretty funny. It's pretty, pretty funny.
That
All right,
good.
What else is your napkin telling you?
Something about a tweet about being a Catholic.
Oh, I thought that was funny, but you didn't write it down.
No, but you were going to explain
tweet
it.
Catholic. Well, I was going to quote it. I wasn't going to explain it.
You quoted it to me at Chili's without anything in front of you. You just quoted
no,
it.
No, I was reading it.
Oh, you
Hold
were?
On. Yeah,
oh.
I'll look it up. Hold on a second. It says, it doesn't say anything. Anyway, it was by, okay, now. Is this guy, and his last name is spelled T-I-G-H-E. Okay.
Oh, Tommy, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. And his Twitter handle is the G is silent, so I can only imagine that his name is Tommy Teehee. I don't know. He seems like a really nice guy, and he's a funny guy, but despite the help of his Twitter handle, I do not know how to say his name.
Are we sure he's not lying about the G?
I'm not sure about anything anymore. But his funny thing that he said was, I'm just going to have to paraphrase it here, thanks to your shoddy napkin work.
Hey.
Hey. You had, I'm just saying, by the time I got done with my first beer, you were already done with your second.
And your point?
Well, if you maybe next time let me have the pen, that's all.
But it's my pen.
I know, it's your pen. So he says, me at work. Catholics aren't weird. Me at home. Puts brown scapular on the dog just in case. I thought that was funny. He's a funny guy.
It's hard to explain Catholicism.
It's hard to explain tweets, for goodness sake. You must be like the only Catholic around in your office, right? I mean, I hang around with Catholics all the time virtually, but you don't.
Correct.
So, how is it?
It's weird.
Do the people think you're a weirdo?
Well, I am, though.
I know, but do they think you're a weirdo?
I would hope so, at this point. I've given them nothing to believe otherwise.
So everybody knows you're that guy with 10 kids, though?
Yes.
Do they harass you about it?
No, because I'm bigger and scarier than most of them.
That's true.
And I throw things at them.
Oh, only occasionally, though.
Just
right?
Pencils.
Just pencils. That guy had it coming.
He always has it coming.
Oh, speaking of guys who have it coming, I was listening to the audio of you interviewing our brand new governor, Tommy Boy.
Don't say that.
Oh, I'm not allowed to say that?
Well, that's an inside. It's an inside the office joke.
Yeah, but he also looks like Tommy Boy. I mean, and acts like he's one of those people that you look at him and you form an opinion, and then he opens his mouth and you're like, yep, I was right about that. And then you hear what he's saying, and you're like, yep, I was right about that.
I want to like him, and I don't think he would believe that if I were to tell him that.
Well, you sounded like you were about to jump across the podium and smack
him. Because he was saying such stupid things.
Well, that's his job, though.
It is, but he basically, our governor had a press conference today to announce that he had fulfilled his mission of meeting with 100 businesses in the first 100 days to recruit them to come to our state. But he wasn't going to tell us who he met with, and he couldn't say if any of them were going to come to our state.
That is quite an announcement.
That is quite an announcement. And when I put it out, his pitch to them was, if they come, he'll be able to give them access to state government so that they can, make it easier for them to come in and set up shop.
Yeah.
So I said, so basically you've had 130 secret meetings in which you're offering access to outside businesses,
yeah,
but you won't tell the people who elected you what you've been doing and who you've been doing it with.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
That is outrageous. And it's our government. We are the government.
He works for us. He doesn't work for businesses in Arizona or Pennsylvania.
Right,
he works
right.
for the... In any event,
well,
his excuse was that was first, I'm not allowed to say who I met.
Yeah, he said I'm not at liberty to disclose that.
Right? Josh Rogers at NHPR said, why aren't you allowed to say that? I said, well, they didn't want me to say it. I mean, and then it came down to he just didn't want to tell us.
He lost his. I know what happened. He wrote it down on a napkin and then he left it at Chili's. That's what happened.
He did.
I have a feeling.
He did. I suspect. One of his. He counts for the 100 total a webinar he had in which 20 businesses were present for the webinar.
Oh, so we had 20 in one day and then
he
took the 19 days off.
Is what we had.
Can we make the margins bigger so it looks like 100? bump up that font size a little bit.
Very much so.
I mean, in some ways, that is kind of what you want in a governor. Like, I don't know if he's actually going to get anything done. He's not going to hurt anything, I guess.
Well, yes.
I have to say, I was amazed the other day to hear on the radio, they were interviewing somebody or other about, it was something about how we have to change the laws in New Hampshire to have more protections for transgender people, and a guy like to include them specifically as having civil rights or something like that, and there was one lawmaker who was saying, like, I looked into this and I don't really think there's a need for it because, like, it's New Hampshire. We don't have a lot of transgender people. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but that's
It is true. There was a transgendered person who ran for state rep a couple of years ago. But it turns out it's something like they had only changed their gender after getting felony charges, and after changing their gender, like it masks their criminal record.
Oh my gosh.
It was something along those lines.
Yeah, it wasn't
your, I mean, I don't think that's the only reason this person changed their gender,
obviously. Yeah, but there were other reasons not to elect him to public office, perhaps.
Oh, perhaps. Perhaps.
But anyway, the interviewer was grilling this guy because this is a shocking thing that we don't want to change the constitution of the state to include, you know, the cause of the moment that everybody's going to forget about 10 minutes later. And the interviewer says, well, don't you realize that this could hurt business in New Hampshire? And I thought, that son of a bitch, you're not supposed to write civil rights laws based on how much money it's going to bring into the state. That's not what, call me sentimental, but that's not what the law is for.
Maybe not.
You know?
Maybe not. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I have been shocked by people's behavior lately.
I just understand the politics of the transgender movement because...
Well, it's been strange to see it played out because people who are normally on the same side and people who are normally allies with each other are suddenly finding themselves not so much allies anymore. For instance, a lot of feminists are really irritated at the idea that in order, really basically all it means to be a woman is to...
Dress like Cher.
Well, yeah. and then they always say, well, that's not it. That's only in the outside. It's really about more than that. But nobody can ever tell me what more it is than that. And they don't feel like themselves when they're dressed in boys' clothes, and they do feel like themselves when they're dressed in girls' clothes. And then eventually they get surgery so that their body looks like that. And it's so offensive to women to be told that this is what it means to be a woman, because we've been hearing for the last several decades that we're more than our bodies, and we're more than our lipstick and our high heels, and we're more than our uterus. And it turns out we're not.
Nope.
After all, nope. You know, all it needs is if you have good enough insurance, you too can be a woman. And it's discouraging. It's downright discouraging. That's what it is. I was reading an article in the New York Times of all places. I mean, I think I'm not the only person who's speaking of, you know, finding allies in strange places. There's an article by a woman who said the title is, "My daughter is not transgender, she's a tomboy." This poor woman.
That's a shocking...
This woman, the kid is, what, 7, 9 years old or something, and most of her life she's enjoyed dressing in boyish or sort of masculine clothing, and it's just her thing. And she's not, and people are very careful to ask her, do you consider yourself a boy? Do you want me to call you a boy or a girl? And I don't know, like... And they say, she says, I'm a girl, because she is a girl. She just happens to wear, like, jeans, and she's got short hair or something. And they keep on asking her and asking, well, you know, are you transitioning? Are you sure? How do you feel on the inside? And they just won't let it go.
That's abuse.
It is. Well, we were not even going to talk about the abuse of, you know, telling a 5-year-old that he can start taking hormones or something. But okay. This woman says she's not... Talking about her daughter, she is not gender nonconforming. She is gender role nonconforming. She does not fit into the mold that we adults, who have increasingly eschewed millenniums-old gender roles ourselves, as women work outside the home and men participate in the domestic sphere, still impose upon our children. And that is very, 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 very discouraging. I mean, you and I were over 40 years old, and we can remember, in our youth, it was not a big deal for... A little girl, right. Like Ramona Quimby, used to wear overalls. Remember?
Right.
And that was not a big deal. And nobody was questioning whether she was sort of maybe turning into a boy in some way. She was a tomboy. Anyway, boy, we're losing ground. This is a downer.
It doesn't have to be, though.
Okay. Fix it.
Okay. Well, I think we need to start with...
Feathered eyebrows.
Let's save that.
Okay.
I want to go in a slightly different direction.
I would like to know more about Shoat Claudad.
That's Shout Cloud. And
we did it. I'm sorry.
Are you wearing your contacts?
No. I have an allergy and everything is very
That's
cloudy.
That's my neat handwriting.
What do you want from me? I don't want anything. I have it all.
I made a list. What do you have?
I, I have your list. You I'm holding list. Your list. Yeah. Well, what does exactly. it say if it's
so smart? All right. So Benny, our 5-year-old.
Oh yeah. Oh. Speaking of, speaking of gender roles, such this kid is driving me crazy. She's following me around like a dark cloud, clinging to me, and she wants to tell me about her boogers all the time. Oh, the booger report. I have to have the booger report. Mama, I accidentally put my finger into one nostril, but then when I put it in the other nostril, I did get a booger out and I was going to eat it. But then, and it goes on and on and on. And I just, by the end of the day, I'm just going to.
I'm boogered out.
I'm just boogered out. That's a good way of putting it. So my husband comes home and I say, why don't you go tell Daddy about your boogers? Because I don't want to hear about it. I said, if you have anything else to say about your boogers, go tell Daddy, and he'll tell you what to do. You want to take it from here?
Well, she presented a pretty easy problem. She said when she put her finger in one nostril, it would bleed, but the other nostril she could get boogers out of. So I just said, kiddo, red means stop, green means go.
And she liked that, and it works, damn it. It's actually not a bad rule. Oh, it's the masculine genius.
Yes, well, now I think it's time for some feminine genius, and that means feathered eyebrows.
Okay, I'm such a genius, and I saw a thing called feathered eyebrows, and I said, that's stupid. I'm still, you know, so retrograde that I pluck my eyebrows sometimes, even though I know that right now we're supposed to be making our eyebrows as big as possible, and we're supposed to be, like, taking medication so that our eyelashes are like all furry and like not only knocking off our own glasses, but knocking off the glasses of the person that we're facing every time we blink. That's for some reason the trend rate. What is the advantage to having eyelashes that are that big?
It filters out the air pollution, right?
Well, we don't live in China.
Do you know why firemen have big old mustaches?
Why?
Because back in the days before they had breathing apparatuses, they would just grow big old beards and cover themselves. It is true.
That's not true.
It is true.
That's not true.
It is true. So it's just tradition now that they have big old mustaches as a holdover. I bet somebody out there knows a fireman, and that's the truth.
I would have to be a pretty old fireman, though.
Well, those guys, it's a pension government job, and they're not really fires anymore, so they hang on.
They're not really fires.
No, there's no more fires.
Is this a post-fire society?
Pretty much.
I don't know why I think that's so funny. That's so stupid. All right, so feathered eyebrows, apparently, you have to make like a horizontal part through the middle of your eyebrow, and some of it goes up and some of it goes down. It is the dumbest freaking thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know why. It's like people with this much time on their hands should have their time confiscated from them because it's obviously surplus, you know. So they should give it to poor children who don't have time, you know. I don't understand what the... It's like, would you like to achieve that look like you just fell face first into a sheet of ice? And this is now what your head looks like? I don't understand.
It looked like there was a scar there that they had not healed.
Yes.
It also looked a little bit like a gentleman who's balding and he mats his hair down to cover it up.
Yeah, none of those things were good. You wouldn't be like, ooh, you're so sexy, it's a scar. Or an elderly gentleman. Oh, you know what? Ask Bill O'Reilly, though. What would he think? Maybe he's into that.
Time to take your pants off.
It always is. Whew. Boy. There's a couple of other kind of sad things on this list, and I just don't want to...
Well, let's talk about something that is, like, the best news of the last weekend.
Okay, I just noticed something else on your list. It says shouty.
You know what? I forget what that is.
I'll go ask a fireman. He'll tell me.
Go ask a fireman.
It's a let's tradition.
The revival of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes. If anybody's not familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000, when did it originally start this show?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, so this guy named Joel, and the idea is that he's on, it doesn't make any sense, but the idea is that he's stuck on this spaceship with some robots that he's made for company, and some, like a mad scientist or something is forcing him to watch terrible movies, And you can sort of, you're seeing it like it's in a movie theater, and you can see their profile, or their silhouettes, and you can hear them making jokes and making snarky remarks and stuff, and it's hilarious. So they did tons of episodes, then they were taken over this guy named, what's his name?
Mike.
And he was okay, but he wasn't as much fun. And then it was canceled, and it was terribly, terribly sad. So recently, they did a Kickstarter thing, and it's been revived through Netflix, and they're showing the episodes that they made on Netflix. There's a whole other guy. His name is Jonah, and he seems funny and fine and nice, and he's got...
And Joel is involved in the show. He's in every episode. I don't know if you know that. Yes, he has a particular part in every episode.
I don't think I saw him in the...
You don't see him.
Oh.
But he's in every episode.
All right. Wow, is that all we have to say? There was a... Oh, I'll tell you what made me think of it, is because... There's this scene where, for some reason, they have a
press conference about a giant they've reptile accidentally, tail that's growing.
Yeah, they have a reptile tail that can, like, it can replicate itself through severed body parts. So they're, for some reason, growing this enormous reptile in their lab, and they're having a press conference. And and one of the reporters wants to know what the name is, and he suggests, what about Reptilicus? And one of the robots or somebody says, how about Reporticus Shutupicus? And the kids just about died. They're going to remember that. That's like anytime they're going to say, you know, what did your father do for a living when you were little? They'd be like, what about Reporticus Shutupicus? So anyway, that's what Governor Sununu was thinking, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think he's a fan of the show.
No.
He's not a fan of me.
Well, I wouldn't. Boy, you were being so mean.
It's my job.
Yeah.
It's my job to be mean to governors.
No, I know. Somebody's got to do it. That's fine.
But I really appreciate the show because the Mystery Science Theater 3000 show, it keeps the silly, sweet goofiness of the original show.
Yes. Yeah, it's not too sleazy. It's not too. It's not G-rated, but
it looks a little handmade still,
really appreciate. Quite handmade.
That's part of the charm.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy it a lot. So, Mystery Science Theater 3000, y'all should look it up. It's on Netflix. I don't know what we would do without Netflix. My goodness.
Oh, we'd have to deal with the kids.
Spend time with our children or something besides, giving them nose-picking directions.
Well, I think that, red bean stock.
Yes, it does.
All right, creature report. Time for the poem.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if I actually picked one. I have a couple different. All right, I've got a poem. Oh, this is a weird one. This is by Ted Hughes.
I like Ted Hughes.
Much better poet than his stupid wife, I'll tell you that. Sylvia Plath, boring, pretentious. Boring.
All right, yes. And it's tragic that she committed suicide.
You know, a lot of people committed suicide. Well, that, I don't have to read their stuff, that's all.
Well, I'm sorry. I have one joke. Can I tell one?
Oh, is it terrible?
It is pretty bad. For you sports fans out there, Aaron Hernandez, the sociopath who used to play for the Patriots, recently killed himself in prison. And one of the comments that I read on one of the first stories is, boy, Aaron Hernandez cannot stop killing people. All right, so
it's not a joke. That's just funny. Meanness.
That's funny.
That's just meanness. That's not funny. It has to be funny.
I thought it was funny.
Oh boy, go sit over there. Portugues, shut up, I guess. All right, he didn't run that by me, by the way. This is my podcast. I have complete editorial control over this podcast most of the time. Here is a poem by Ted Hughes. It's called Examination at the Womb Door. Who owns these scrawny little feet? Death. Who owns this bristly, scorched-looking face? Death. Who owns these still-working lungs? Death. Who owns this utility coat of muscles? Death. Who owns these unspeakable guts? Death. Who owns these questionable brains? Death. All this messy blood, death. These minimum efficiency eyes, death. This wicked little tongue, death. This occasional wakefulness, death. Given, stolen, or held pending trial, held. Who owns the whole rainy, stony earth? Death. Who owns all of space? death. Who is stronger than hope? Death. Who is stronger than the will? Death. Stronger than love? Death. Stronger than life? Death. But who is stronger than death? Me, evidently. Pass, Crow. What do you think about that? I think it's part of a longer series, and I always meant to read the rest of the series and find out what the hell that was all about. I don't know. It does something for me.
Yeah.
It does something for me. Anyway, that was Ted Hughes, a much superior poet to whoever that was. You want to shout something before it's over?
No, I'm a good.
You're good? Okay. Reporting is shut up because out.